2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Roster Release Podcast. For those who don't know, the AFL is the Arizona Fall League. It's the greatest thing in the world. I'm Josh Norris. He's Jeff Ponce. I'm the bear. He's the parrot. This is the second take we're doing of this intro because I, who have worked with him for about 2 years now, did not get his last name correct. So that's where we are in terms of knowing each other as co-hosts. I think he... What's my last name, Jeff?
New Ross.
New Ross is correct. It's not the old Ross. it's new Ross, same as the old Ross. In any case, I'm the AFL's number one fan, no matter what anybody else will tell you. It's what I wait for all year. There are 46 non-AFL weeks, and those are terrible. And there are six brilliant AFL weeks in the yearly calendar, and that's what I look forward to all year.
Josh, I have a question to test your AFL fandom.
Okay.
Would you get let's say that we made a map of the locations around the Phoenix area of the AFL teams, and we represented each location or stadium with a logo from each of the AFL teams. Would you tattoo that on your back?
No. No, I've done enough with needles. I've done enough with needles in my lifetime, and I'll explain that further.
What?
I've had a liver transplant. I've gotten a lot of blood drawing. So I know the listeners going, "Oh, wow, he just admitted to a lot of things right there." No, it's just I've been poked and prodded and cut and sliced and intubated and extubated, every other thing you can think of. But we got off track very quickly.
Extremely. But only 2 minutes, so it's good.
I thought you were gonna say if you showed me that map, would I be able to tell you which each of the stadiums are, and I'd go, well, I'm terrible with directions. This is my 10th fall league, I think, which means I will have been to a third of the fall leagues, and I will still have to punch in where is whichever stadium every time I go there. There is no sense of direction from me at all. But we are going to talk today. We're recording this on Friday, the day that the rosters were released. So caveat here is they might look a little different by the time this podcast comes out on Monday. If you know anything about the AFL, it's that the roster gets released and then there is endless tinkering. Guys getting switched in, switched out, whatever. But we will talk about what they look like today on Friday, September 2nd. The league starts on October 2nd, runs through the mid of November. There's 6 weeks. There's a Fall Stars game, a championship game, a little one-day play-in. There's a special triple header at Goodyear Stadium. That's the home of the Cleveland Guardians and Cincinnati Reds during spring training. And there's two games being played at HoHoCam, which is in Mesa. Used to be the spring training home of the Cubs. So other than that, you've got your standard six-week schedule with it's a little less night game heavy than usual, or a little less day game heavy early in the season than usual. But other than that, it's pretty much the same format as in years past. So without further ado, we are going to start with the Glendale Desert Dogs, which feature prospects from the Twins, Red Sox, Mets, White Sox, and I think that's all. Twins, Mets, Red Sox, White Sox, and Dodgers. There it is. So, Jeff, you've got the roster in your hand. I've talked for a while. Tell me who you are interested in on the Glendale Desert Dogs who play at Camelback Ranch.
Oh yes, old Camelback Ranch. Bring your biggest
SPF 90.
Yeah, and SPF 90. You know, you may even want to wear shooter sleeves when you're there. A little trick to protect your arms. You know, don't have to cover it all that lotion. you know, this team I think probably has arguably the best player in the Arizona Fall League in Colson Montgomery. Certainly excited to see him. I think Bonacy, I'm kind of interested to see as well. From the Red Sox, you know, switch hitter, started to show a little bit more power. Still pretty young, you know, still just turned 21 this summer. Entered the season as a 20-year-old. He's an interesting player. Damon Keith has a ton of juice, ton of raw power, gets on base. He's kind of in the mold of players that I typically like quite a bit. Christopher Troye, who's a big right-hander, was reliever with the Red Sox. Going to be one of the harder throwers, really good stuff. Might have some of the best like stuff in the fall league this year. So he's an interesting one. Jake Pilarski is one of the like the 5 to 6 hardest throwers based on the results from 2023 regular season in the fall league. So that should be kind of interesting. A player I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about, but you know, hard throwing Dodgers right-hander, typically can't go wrong there. Ronan Kopp, though, I would say is probably among these arms, the one that I'm most interested in seeing. Now that Jake Eater is a White Sox prospect, he just has not been the same guy. So who knows? Maybe he recovers it in the fall league. But Arizona Fall League is a very tough place to sort of try to recover your pitching prospect status.
Yeah, it's not a pitching favorable league. You took a lot of guys there. I was going to say Kopp would be high on my list. I want to see Jake Eater again. I saw him at the peak of his powers a couple years ago in Pensacola. I was in Chattanooga, and he was pretty good. It was a fun couple of days. That was Jake Eater, Max Meyer, Hunter Green, and Nick Lodolo back in a 2-game stretch. It wasn't his best. It was actually his worst day of the year, which was just a middle of the road start. But you could see the stuff was there. And I think he was leading the minor leagues in ERA at the time, or second to Meyer or something like that. He was an interesting guy, really intense character on the mound. We'll see what the White Sox can do with him. White Sox also got Jordan Leisure this year from the Dodgers and a deal, another hard thrower who's going to light up the radar gun for you. I'll be excited to see what he does. Brian Mata from the Red Sox, he actually pitched in the pre-pandemic fall league. I think he was in the 2019 Arizona Fall League. I remember seeing him a couple times. Now that he's back, he's still only 24. So I think he's still got some value. I'd be interested to see what he looks like. Kevin Parada, you know, I've long been on the, okay, if for this to work, he needs to change the way he sets up and addresses the baseball. And it sounds like he's done that throughout the course of the year and has seen the results. Nathan Hickey's also an under the radar, offensive minded catcher. I'm with you, Colson Montgomery. You know, I'm less excited to see him, not so much because he's less talented, but because I've seen him a bunch of times. I'm familiar with the work of Mr. Montgomery. Brian Ramos kind of falls into that same boat, but he was injured most of the year. And he had moments a couple years ago where he looked like, you know, the next thing. And then sometimes pitchers would get to him, kind of alternated hot and cold on and off. And then Kalai Rosario with the Twins is a pretty interesting one. He just won Midwest League MVP. Seems like an up arrow prospect in their system. And Jacob Burke as well, kind of maybe a little bit of sleeper guy in the White Sox system as well. So all in all, not a bad roster for the Desert Dogs of Glendale, one of the two teams who has an Arizona Fall League hat in my sizable hat collection. With that in mind, we will move over to the Mesa Solar Sox, the other team whose hat I own. They play at Sloan Park, home of the Cubs, in spring training, and this club features players from the Orioles, the Astros, the A's, the Yankees, and the Cubs. Jeff, your turn again. Who do you like?
Oh, I think that's a good one this time. Yeah, I know. You know, I get greedy. I start running through the rosters, and you know, I start sucking up all the good names. Oh, pause on that comment. Anyway,
you're a name sucker.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Pause. Major pause. All right.
Bears have pause.
For me, Kevin Alcantara, Zach DiCenzo, Kennedy Corona. And then there's one more, but I don't know if I'm taking all the good names if I mention one more player.
I was going to say, if you didn't take Zach DiCenzo, I would be very disappointed in you. That's your boy. I'm
contractually obligated to say
you are contractually obligated. Kevin Alcantara, I don't know if he was in your contract, but you took him nonetheless. And Kennedy Corona is in your contract.
Yes. So
those are your boys. And tell us why you like them.
Yeah, I think DiCenzo is a guy that came straight out of the draft, did not go directly to the major leagues, but been pretty good. His hit, has had his ups and downs at AA, but I think all things considered, is exactly where he should be. Season was fine. There's a ton of raw power there. I think there's some swing and miss for sure, but I think he sort of teeters in that line where it's enough contact that the rest of the profile works. He's not going to stick at third base long term, but I think this guy has legitimate 30 plus home run upside in the future. It's huge pop. So that's why I like it. Steal some bases here and there too. He's kind of a little sneaky, but I'm in for the raw power. Kevin Alcantara, 6'6", really good athlete. I felt like he really started to come into his own as the season, continued to sort of wear on. And I think he just showed a lot more. Obviously made his way up to AA, was in the playoff lineup last night. So I like Alcantara. I think he's starting to sort of turn a corner and turn all those tools into actual skills. And he could be a pretty good ball player, really exciting player too. We could look back in a few years and say that he was actually the best player that participated in this fall league. I think that the ceiling is that high, though. There's some, there's always been some risk there as well. And, I'm sure someone who covered him with the Yankees knows that is quite as well as anybody. And Kennedy Corona, just a good athlete, good center fielder. I don't know if there's enough impact in the profile, but he kind of does a bunch of things really well, just kind of the little things well in terms of, those pitches he does and doesn't swing at, the types of contact he makes. Like I said, he's a really good center fielder as well. So he's just sort of an interesting player. Maybe he's more of a fourth outfielder long-term, but kind of a sneaky name in the Astros system. And we know the sneaky names in the Astros systems tend to be better than we anticipate they're going to be long-term.
Before I get into the guys I'm excited to see, I'll ask you, could DiCenzo have the type of breakout fall league that a guy like Will Wagner had last year?
Yeah, I think he's even better. I think he's a better player than Will Wagner is. Wagner bat to ball wise is better, but there's just so much more impact in the profile. With DiCenzo, he's more exciting. Yeah, I think especially with the, that AFL air where the ball seems to travel like no other. It wouldn't shock me if DiCenzo leads the AFL in home runs.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. I don't know who I'd pick initially for that. On this club, guys, I'm excited to see pitchers. Roybert Salinas, who came over from Braves to the A's, he a couple of years ago was striking out the world, and the biggest concern was kind of keeping his body in check. He'll be interesting to see what he can do this year, at least in terms of lighting up the radar gun and getting some results out there. I mean, I guess he could be as nasty as pretty much anyone in this fall league. Miguel Ulloa. As he wants to be. Yes, Miguel Ulloa has one of the better fastballs in the league. Guy who kind of popped on the radar last year with Houston. It was part of a very talented low-A Fayetteville staff and kind of caught my eye. I think I ranked him in some list last year. Oh, no, he was best fastball, I think, in the Carolina League. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. Going further down the list, I'm excited to see DiCenzo. Triantos with the Cubs, interesting little player, kind of an offensive-minded second baseman. He'll be really interesting to see what he can do. I agree with you, Kevin Alcantara is going to be really fun, kind of a real big athletic guy who can do a lot of fun things. And I imagine he will have some viral moments of his own in this fall league. We will move on to team number three, the Peoria Javelinas, the best roster in the fall league.
And this is the Fall Stars. This is actually the Fall Stars. They're going to take on the Space Jam Monsters at Chase Field in one of the three games.
And we'll say that, and then they'll go like, you know, they'll
be like Salt River from last year.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yes, like the loaded roster, and just the results were very poor last year. We'll look at this list. I'll start it off, and I'm not going to try to take everybody here. And I'll leave you some guys that I know you are a big fan of, which is a lot of these guys here. I'm interested in Jagger Haynes with the Padres. He was a name that got a little bit of buzz during spring training, projectable left-handed guy with some upside. Let's see here. Who else do I like in this group? Harry Ford is interesting in that, you know, people don't quite know what he is just yet. Great eye for the strike zone. Nobody's really sure about the impact or whether he's going to stick behind the plate. But there's a good foundation there, high floor type of player. Be interested to see what he does. I know the raw power is in there. I saw it in spring training when he hit a ball off the batter's eye at his new home park here, well, his current home park. It's the Seattle prospect. Peoria Stadium in the Padres-Mariners prospect game at the end of spring. I am intrigued a little bit by the Marlins' Jacob Berry. I know he didn't have the greatest year in the history of man, but it'll be interesting to see if he can get back on track in a more hitter-friendly environment. The talent has been there. I'll take one of your guys, Nathan Martorella, had a really good year for the Padres, and might be one of those guys that, you know, he's not the twitchy tools monster athlete, just a guy who hits, and then hits some more on the way to the big leagues. Biggest name on this roster is Carson Williams with the Rays. He, really great combination of outstanding shortstop defense and raw power. May not be the best pure hitter in the world, but he's going to do some exciting things on the diamond that will, you know, possibly make him one of the talks of the fall league. Without that in mind, Jeff, tell me about the guys you like.
On Peoria.
Yeah, on Peoria.
You know, I think the thing that, big picture here, man. This is a fun roster. I mean, this lineup is just loaded. You have an outfield that can really go get it. I think Jacob Marce is going to be a guy that really breaks out in the fall league. He had a big season kind of under the radar. Does a lot of things really, really well. You know, I love Chase DeLauder. I'm really excited to see him reunited with his former Orleans Firebirds teammate, Tyler Locklear. When the rosters were announced and I had sort of a tweet ready to go, going over the Peoria team and how sort of special it was, I actually got some text messages from some of the staff there at Orleans when Locklear and DeLauder were there. So some excitement around that. I'm excited to see Graham Pauly and Nathan Martorella back together. They're both guys that, you know, played together for Katuit on the Cape. Dale Stanovich, lefty that throws really hard. I know you kind of laugh at the name, but Rutgers, a little bit older, but was a standout with Brewster on the Cape in 2021. Ryan Webb is a lefty that went to Georgia, had Tommy John surgeries. He was really breaking out during his draft spring, and I like him quite a bit. Cleveland Guardians left-hander. Patrick Wicklander, I thought was really interesting. Austin Vernon, you know, a couple of Rays arms here. They're always obviously sending out some arms that are worth a watch. Jimmy Joyce, I think, is a name that's worth watching and considering. And, you know, all the other hitters that we didn't mention between the two of us. I think you mentioned Carson Williams, right? So we don't have to mention that one, right?
No, I mean, there's some other names here. Ryan Bliss had a great year in the minors.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Manzardo.
Oh, yeah.
He was interesting at Tampa Bay and then got traded to the Guardians. So he would have been on this club no matter what. He was destined to be a Peoria Javelina.
He was destined to be a Javelina.
And Jeff, let me just clarify something here. You are familiar and a fan of the Cape Cod League?
Yes, sir. It is my Arizona Fall League.
Let me ask you this.
If they wanted to pay for me to get a map of the Cape with all of the team's logos affixed in their appropriate spots, I would get that tattoo.
Well, let me ask then, why would you get a second one?
Why would my first, it didn't land.
I was gonna say, because it sounds like you probably already have one of those.
No, I don't. I don't have any tattoos.
You have a henna tattoo of that. You're looking to invest and get the real thing.
Yeah, it's actually like the temporary ones where like you got to use the wet rag. So I just have like a face cloth over here, and I keep reapplying it there.
You can't see Jeff, but and you've got cape on one eyelid and cod on the other.
Exactly.
His fist names are Orleans and Brewster. I don't know your allegiances. But with that note, we will take a quick advertising break right here.
Le está gustando mi podcast. That means, are you liking my podcast in Espanol, in Spanish? Which is something I'm working on because I'm trying to take that Spanish that I learned many years ago in high school and college and take it to a much, much, much higher level, thanks to Babbel. And you can too, because with Babbel, you can start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. It's not the best way to learn a language. The best way to learn a language is, hey, just move to the country that you want to learn how to speak that language. Immersion is the best way. But if you're like me, I can't just pick up and move around the world. And if you can't, the second best way to learn a language is Babbel, because Babbel helps you start speaking a new language very quickly, just 3 weeks. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, check it off this year with Babbel. The other thing with Babbel is that I love how it does it. It gives me a variety of ways. I see pictures to associate. I hear the words. Then I speak it back to Babbel, and Babbel's speech recognition technology helps me improve my pronunciation and accent. It's not just something where you're reading from a book. It's not something where you're just listening. It's interactive. And right now, there's a special limited deal where you get 55% off of your Babbel subscription. But that's only for our listeners at babbel.com/BA. That's Babbel, BABBEL.com/BA to get 55% off of your Babbel subscription. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for tickets to your next game, concert, or show? Make shopping for tickets more convenient with TickPick, the original no-fee ticket marketplace that brings you the best prices for all the events that you love. And now TickPick is partnering with Zip, so you can shop now and pay later. Zip allows you to shop at TickPick and split your payment into easy installments. Visit TickPick.com or install TickPick on the App Store and use promo code ZIP20, that's ZIP20, for $20 off your first purchase of $199 or more with Zip. Zip can only be used for U.S. purchases, and Zip may charge a fee at checkout. Certain merchant product goods and service restrictions apply. Visit Zip's terms of service at www.zip.co/us. Loans through the Zip app were originated through WebBank, except for Zip-originated loans in Colorado, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Maryland. Check out with Zip at tickpick.com.
And we are back. And we will start the second half of this podcast by talking about the Salt River Rafters, which play at picturesque Salt River Fields, home to the greatest restaurant in the world, Mongolian Grill, which is where I spend, I think I've mentioned before on these podcasts, my record is 2 weeks in the Fall League, 14 days, 16 meals of grill, because that is just how boring and creature of habit I am. But you came here to talk to hear about prospects and not food. The Salt River Club has prospects from the Rockies, the Braves, the Pirates, the Tigers, and the Diamondbacks.
Oh my!
Say what?
Oh my!
And I will say that my favorite prospect status aside, I will say that my favorite group here is. They've got Wilmer Flores and J.C. Flowers, whom I am dubbing the Botany Boys, because that's Flowers and Flores. So I'm hoping that name will stick. It won't, but I'm really proud of it. Moving on. I think the most interesting guys on this club that I'm interested in seeing, Jackson Jobe has a chance to be the top pitching prospect in this league. Really, really good prospect in a pretty strong contingent that Detroit's sending, which also includes Jace Young. It's a lot of J's. Jace Young, Jackson Jobe, the J and J and J and J boys. They sent trade acquisition Hao Yu Lee, chance to be an offensive-minded middle infielder. Justin Justice Bigby, one of the breakout prospects in the Tigers system this year. In addition to the Tigers guys, they also have the youngest player in the fall league, Alessandro Ercolani, a player, or a 19-year-old, I believe he's the only teenager in the fall league, who is from San Marino, a country I had to look up to make sure it was a country of its own. It is a landlocked country in Italy. He pitched most of the year in the Florida State League, and he's bigger guy. He's a bigger guy. Low to mid-90s fastballs, part of a five-pitch mix. I'll be really interested to see how he fares against uniformly older competition. Who else we got on this roster? Blake Walston, projectable left-hander from the Diamondbacks will be interesting. Jeff, I don't want to take everybody else. Who do you got on the Salt River Rafters?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting staff. First, they have a couple of Braves here who have already been in the big leagues in Dylan Dodd and Darius Vines. You have some pretty close to the big leagues arms like Blake Walston, like you mentioned. Guys that I'm most excited about in this team, though, are Jackson Jobe, of course. I think you can argue he's the best pitching prospect in the fall league, depending upon whether you prefer him or Ricky Tiedemann of this season. Right now, one's trending one way and the other in the other direction.
One's making his AAA debut tonight.
You said Jobe?
No, Ricky T.
Oh, Tiedemann. Okay. I thought Tiedemann was. And then you have a name that I think is really kind of interesting, and that's Tanner Kolup, who's a right-hander, big guy, drafted out of Wisconsin prep guy a couple years ago, spent the season in Lakeland, overcome some injuries. Josh, did you realize that this guy's changeup has a spin rate of 2,700 RPMs? He actually spins the heck out of his spin rate, out of his changeup, which is really, really unusual.
I realized that because you told me to look at it earlier.
Yeah.
I was outside run,
a little bit of depth on it too. It's not a screwball, but it's screwball-ish. It's screwy.
I was out acquiring more bird seed, as I am wont to do, so I forgot to look at it. But I'm glad you are here. I thought you were going to tell me the other way on the spectrum, like his spin rate was like 500 or something.
No, he like super spins it. It's a very interesting pitch. Hitting wise, Ivan Melendez, huge power. Sterling Thompson had a great year. Jack Brannigan might be one of the more underrated prospects in the game right now. Jace Young, I like quite a bit. Just as big year offensively as well. And then you got a couple other names like Jace Bowen and Benny Montgomery, AJ Vukovich, like whatever. Interesting names, but I wouldn't anticipate huge breakouts.
Yeah, the fun thing about it, huge breakouts, is you don't often anticipate them.
No, I guess that's what. Maybe we do. I don't know.
Jeff, last year, I remember, so I got to the fall league and I tweeted out the pitching matchups that day. I picked up my credential at Salt River Fields. And upon seeing them, Jeff pinged me and said, you've got to go see that matchup at Camelback, which, if you know Arizona geography, that means picking up your credential and driving 45 minutes the other way to go see it, which doesn't sound like a huge road trip, but it's not what I was expecting. That matchup turned out to be pretty good. Do you remember what it was, Jeff?
I want to say it was Emmett Sheehan.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't versus Mason Miller.
No,
was it
better than that?
Better than Mason Miller. Emmett Sheehan and Brian Wu.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a fun one.
Guys that I was all over going into the season. Like that Wu was a guy that I like made sure I saw. Like my trip was around seeing. I saw Sheehan one day and Wu the next, actually.
Yeah, you were fully on the Wu-Tang clan.
Yeah.
And those
you
are
you might even say I was the RZA.
I wouldn't say that. No, I don't know about your acting chops or your beat making chops.
Zigzag Ziggler.
All right. I will say too that it's kind of an interesting dovetail since Sheehan graduated from the world of prospects just last night, and Brian Wu much earlier in the season. Those are both guys you'll probably see in the playoffs this year. So.
Yeah.
Like even these guys are going to be in the big leagues next year. You're going to see some of these guys, a lot of these guys in the big leagues next year, and you might see some of them on the biggest stage in the big leagues next year. So this is a part of the reason I love the fall league is it's such an almost anonymous league, but there are really fun guys who are going to be very famous in the next couple of years. You get to see them in this kind of intimate environment.
Yeah. I mean,
you had great weather.
You had multiple guys that broke camp on the big league roster.
Jordan Walker.
Yeah. That were on the fall league. Jordan Walker, but also Thad Ward.
Mm-hmm. Well, Thad Ward kind of had to, but yeah. And he's back this year.
Yeah, he is.
Moving on to the Scottsdale Scorpions, home of your San Francisco Giants in the fall league. This team has prospects from the Giants, the Phillies, the Angels, the Cardinals, and the Nationals. Your turn, Jeff. Who do you like on this roster?
You know, I don't know anything about this player at all, but Hayden Wingen?
Yep.
It's what is it?
Wingen.
He's a 6'9" lefty.
I actually saw him when I went to Oregon.
How was he? Does he throw hard?
Not particularly.
Oh.
But I did see him, so I'm not unfamiliar with him.
He can definitely dunk a basketball. Either way, he's kind of interesting. I don't know. This is an interesting pitching staff. You know who I'm going to talk about first.
I do.
Cardinals left-hander Cooper Jerpy. He was really, really getting going. You know, he was on his way to the top of the top 100. But got injured, worked his way back. He's going to be in the fall league. I'm going to throw it out there right now. If there's an award for most outstanding pitcher, it's going to Cooper Jerpy.
He's going to be, at the very least, the best Jerpy in the fall league.
He's going to be the best Jerpy there is. DJ Hurst, really interesting, acquired you know, from the Cubs, Nationals guy during the trade deadline, I think in the Jaime Candelario deal. So he's an interesting name. Somebody I would be definitely trying to catch while I'm, you know, if I was out there. Tekoa Roby. I think Tekoa Roby, in all honesty, could actually be the guy that wins most outstanding pitcher in the fall league. That wouldn't shock me. Huge stuff. He's got a lot of buzz right now. He could have some innings to throw out there as well. On the hitting side, you know, I'll throw one sleeper out there. Jimmy Crooks, I think, is a better player than the numbers show. He's fairly exciting, and I think somebody I'm excited to see again. I've seen a lot of him in spring training the last couple of years. And I'm going to shut up, and I'll leave the rest of the hitters in this team for you, because this is just such a loaded lineup.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting group of guys. I'm interested in seeing what Victor Scott can do, if he can be the slash and dash king of the fall league. You know, 90 grade runner. I think he's one of two guys in the minor leagues this year who stole 90 plus bases, which is pretty darn impressive.
He was in the same. He was in the same Cape League team as.
I don't know, Jeff. Chandler Simpson.
Simpson. They were on the same team.
Oh wow! So that was just. just
largely. You know who replaced him in center field in that Cape team after he went to. After he went to the draft.
Give me a hint.
He was drafted in the first round this year and is known for his base stealing prowess.
Enrique Bradfield?
Yes, indeed. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, yes. Boy.
That I team could run. Things.
Say what?
That team could run, sir.
That team ran base like Juan Pierre. To quote Jay-Z. Let's move along here for those who did not get that. We got the polar opposite, too, of Victor Scott, Sonny DiChiara. So that's... very, very interesting yin and yang sort of player on that club.
Yeah. Peak of male fitness right there.
Reggie Crawford's going to be really interesting. He's only going to hit. He probably won't even play the field much. I think he's as much a DH as possible is the way I've been explained, or it's been explained to me. So I'm excited to see what he looks like. I've actually seen him as a pitcher. I actually saw him as a pitcher before the draft. I saw him on the college national team in whatever year that was. So he had like 8 innings career between UConn and the college national team. So it's like kind of like.
Oh, well, he pitched in the Cape too, sir.
The Cape isn't real. You're just making it up. And like I've said, until they play wearing capes, I will not recognize that as a real league. I think you're right about TK Roby. I remember when we were in, I think it was the 2020 draft, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I remember reviewing film, trying to cut that up for our draft shows and whatever, and looking at the data that we had, I was like, well, he's certainly a spin monster. He spinned the bejesus out of his breaking balls. And I do remember also he was his demeanor on the mound was confident, put it that way. He was out there to chew bubble gum and take names, and he was all out of bubble gum. Just the kind of guy to come right at you, and it was really impressive. I think I remember him being against the Zebulon team, and you know, he was ready to fight everyone, which was not a wise choice because that team was full of gigantic monsters. If you see what Jeff is doing right now, we're glad this is not a video podcast because he is trying to get me off my game and it's just not going to work. I'm kind of interested in Cooper Jerpy too, just because you've hyped him to high heck and the Beavers do a good job of putting together some pitchers. Last year we had Christian Chamberlain in that league, another interesting Beaver arm. So they're a pretty good little program. Will Bednar is returning for the Giants. He'll be back there. He showed a really interesting slider last year. And I skipped right over Christian McGowan with the Phillies. He's heavy sinker, interesting slider, change up in there too. I'm really interested to see what he can do. He sounds like an up arrow guy in that system. We will move on to the final club. And surprise, it's the Saguaros. This team has Rangers, Royals, Brewers, Reds, and Blue Jays prospects.
They do. So they do.
Since you are done trying to distract me, go ahead and go first.
No problem.
Bless the mic.
I'm just hoping this team has some more Beavers. Ricky Tiedemann, I think, is the name. I think he's the name that everyone's probably going to be the most excited about. Obviously, some of the biggest stuff in all of minor league baseball, one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball. Really interesting, has a lot of time to make up. Like you said, he's going to AAA tonight. Interesting to see what the pitch count is, how he's deployed, if it is still like a lot of shorter stints or if he maybe even builds up because he did miss a huge chunk of the season. Zach Maxwell being sort of the other guy here that has huge stuff. One of the hardest throws in the fall league is a great breaking ball. It's funny enough, Andrew Moore, who's a system mate and a teammate, another hard thrower. There's a lot of interesting arms on this team. CJ Van Eckwith saw down actually pitch against the Yankees opposing Henry LeLane. Down in the complex back in August.
That is a very contrasting matchup.
Yeah, it is kind of a very contrasting matchup. It's really interesting. I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but he's also – this is actually the hardest – I believe this team has 5 of the 10 hardest throwers in the league. This guy is a Rangers prospect, right-handed pitcher. Out of Hawaii.
Well,
say it for me. Is it Anthony Hupinuatoa?
Tuanatoa, yes, sir.
Nice, I got it right. So Anthony Hupinuatoa, he throws pretty hard. Since like 96, 97. Always had a thing for Bryce Hubbard, man. He's always been good. The fastball shape is good. He competes. He's a lot of fun. Throws, you know, pretty good breaking balls. Kind of interesting to see what he's up to, you know, if I do have a chance to potentially get out there. Would like to catch up with Hubbard. I haven't chatted with him since he was in the Cape in 2021. All things go back to the Cape here.
I know. It's with you. It's nothing but Cape. Nothing. But
I Cape. Feel like there's so many. I think it's like a similar demographic of the people that are littered across fall league rosters and the players that are good on the Cape. because they're guys that maybe aren't like first rounders, you know, and we're not talking about all the elite guys. It also gives me an opportunity to see like a majority of the college players who get drafted from year to year. So it's a good starting point for me in Barometer. And well, I left you all the hitters.
Well, I will say that I mentioned it on Twitter. I think the pitcher I'm most excited to see in this fall league is Zach Maxwell. That name popped up for me when I was trying to do the 50 guys who popped in spring training story. I didn't put him on the list, and I feel stupid. Two guys who I should have put on the list but didn't, I just didn't have enough information on, were him and new big leaguer Orion Kerkering. So, womp, womp, boom. But I'll get a chance to see Mr. Maxwell here in a couple weeks. I head down on the first. Yeah, Ricky Tiedemann, obviously. Be interested to see a little more of Emiliano Teodo. Jacob Wallace is kind of intriguing, throws hard. Let's see. Cam Pauly, I have a soft spot for in the Rangers system. He's kind of intriguing. You know, he's really a twitchy athlete. He can play the heck out of shortstop, sneaky power. Gavin Cross needs a little bit of a rebound after a tough start to his pro career. Abimelech Ortiz with the Rangers, big time breakout guy with the power. Not the, you know, he's 30 plus home runs. He got LASIK surgery in the offseason to correct his vision, and it's really, really done wonders for him. He's also changed some swing mechanics as well, so he'll be interested to watch. He could sneak up and lead this fall league in home runs if we're not careful. I think those are the guys I'm really excited to see most of all. And I should note, since we talked about the Beavers, this Andrew Moore, not a Beaver. It's not that Andrew Moore, different one. But Jeff, any closing thoughts on the fall league now that we've gone through all six rosters in just about 40 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know about you, Josh, but I'm ready for a little AFL action. You know, there's nothing better than getting out there for a week, you know, hanging out with some baseball friends,
mm-hmm.
taking in some great games, and eating some good food. There's a lot of great food in the Phoenix area.
Well, there's a lot of grill. There's a lot of Mongolian grill.
Blue adobo, baby. New Mexican food. It was delicious.
One thing that's really going to help me this trip or make this trip a little more fun for me is I'm going out there. I leave on the 1st of October, game start for me the 2nd of October. I get to double up with Instructs, the last week of Arizona Instructs. So I'll get some of the real babies and then during the day, and then at night I'll get a fall league game. So I'll get probably fewer fall league games than usual, but I'll supplement it with instructional league game, which is, you know, where you're going to see the future fall leaguers. It's going to be a vicious cycle of those things. I mean, last year I got like two Instructs games, and one of them was Jacob Mizierowski versus Justin Robleski, the all Polish matchup to close the Dodgers instructional league slate. Some pretty good stuff in that game. Josue De Paula was in that game. Marishendrick Martinus was in that game. Really a fun one. So I'm hoping to see a lot more young studs on the various backfields while I'm out there. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'll be out there for about 12 days, and then I come home, and it's full handbook mode. And that's mostly what we're working on now at BA. There's going to be some more AFL content. Jeff's going to have some data-driven pieces on the fall league, which is not surprising. He's waving his hand like a crazy, so maybe he might not have some data-driven pieces. I'm going to have just a list of guys I'm excited to see. And if you listen to this podcast, you might have a clue of who I'm gonna write about. But if you don't, well, you're not hearing this, and it won't matter. Those are my final thoughts, and I think Jeff gave you his. So it's time to put a bow on this. For Jeff, I'm Josh. Thanks for the download. Bye.